Alrighty.
Okay.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Sometimes we wait a couple years for the good ones that people would read in the first couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, I brought this up before.
Yeah, you did. And I've never been against it.
And you never read it, though?
I've never read that. No, I've never read Marvels, no.
Yeah, I've read it.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, you know, I knew it was good. Yeah,
you're just such a fucking cultured reader, aren't you?
Sure am. You know, I like to start off reading the classics, mm-hmm. You know. And then,
so that you can't appreciate them fully.
And then, well, no.
That's like showing your kid, like, The Godfather as his first movie.
And great, he's like, yeah, great place to start. I don't know about that, but like, you know, show him some good stuff. Don't show him some slop so he can appreciate the good stuff. That's crazy.
No, you gotta start at the very bottom of the barrel. Behavior. And then start at the very bottom of the barrel.
What if because of that he hates movies?
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Then you show him the best thing and be like, sometimes it'll be good.
Anyway, we were gonna do ROM, but the run that we were looking at, the IDW run, is not available digitally. It's available physically, but we weren't.
They don't want you to read comics anymore.
I know. I know.
Those companies.
So we did a random pick based off the spreadsheet that I made, and Marvels was the pick.
Yes.
And so
we duped you.
We might go to that. I warned the people watching the video that was not the case, but.
Yeah.
But we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Marvels. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news.
Dano, do you like it when a famous singer from a punk or rock band of the early 2000s writes a comic book?
That's my favorite thing, actually.
Do you know who the singer of Fall Out Boy is? His name?
Pete Went? Oh, no. Fucking give me a sec. Is it Patrick?
Yeah.
Patrick Stump?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Wow, I'm impressed you knew that.
I used to really like Fall Out Boy.
I liked them, too. I never knew his name was Stump.
Yeah.
That's a crazy last name.
And then, like, Pete Wentz is the bassist. I don't know the rest
of that. That was the one I knew for some reason. Why do I know Pete Wentz?
Well, he wrote a comic last year.
Oh, that's what it is. That's why his name is Fresh. He's going to be a part of the 50 Years of Eternals, like, big one-shot comic book for some reason. Patrick Stump is.
I feel like the Eternals hasn't even been, like, in print for 50 years. Like, I feel like there's only been, like, maybe 12 of those years.
Yeah.
There were comics coming out.
Yeah, exactly. But technically, they debuted, I guess, 50 years ago. So, Marvel's going to celebrate this April. And Patrick Stump's going to do one of the three stories, I guess, that are in there. That's cool.
Very interesting.
So we can add him to the famous people that make comics list.
So do we give it to that 50th anniversary special?
Yeah, but just his story. Because I think the other ones are, I don't know, other people.
Yeah.
But I don't have it here.
Okay.
That's fun.
Nathan.
What?
You like Chew?
Yeah. It's Chew, like my favorite.
Chew's coming back.
What?
It's coming back in comics, the magazine. There's going to be a little story in there.
Whoa.
I think there's going to be multiple stories.
Wait, comics, the magazine.
Comics, the magazine.
What does that mean?
Comics is the name of
the magazine.
The magazine.
Hmm.
You know how they.
That's not confusing.
You know. How there's always like comics magazines back in like the 90s or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I guess there's a new one. I don't know.
Cool.
John Layman writing.
Rob Guillory. Oh, my God. Let's go. Doing some fucking art, baby. How do I buy this magazine? Is it going to show up in the comic shop? I didn't even know this.
I don't know.
That's crazy. I didn't. How did you find this out?
You got to ask Drew. I fucking opened my eyes.
I guess I got to do that more. That's cool.
I don't know how where I got that information.
Was it a comics news website?
Hopefully it's true.
I hope it's true, but maybe you're just duping me.
That'd be the biggest dupe.
It would be.
That'd be so rude.
It would be so mean.
You're like, I lied. But there's too much information.
Yeah.
Yeah, comics, the magazine, number one. that comes out March 4th.
Hell yeah.
It's a Nick Dragota cover, which is like absolute cool. Batman.
Oh, okay.
It's $2.99.
That's a steal.
Do you want me to order you one?
Sure.
Okay.
How do you order it? Is it on like the
Comics Hub?
Okay, cool. Yep, I will take one.
So I think there's like a little story in multiple like issues. I don't know if they're like connected or if they're just a bunch of little ones, but pretty exciting.
Yeah, that'll be neat. Speaking of things coming back, Daniel, remember Mad Magazine?
Yeah.
They're going to be doing a one shot on April 1st.
Mad About DC?
Mad About DC. It's going to, I guess Chip Zdarsky's like a main editor on this one. And so he's just the filter for if something's funny enough to be on a Mad comic, I guess.
Nice.
Which is good because he's a pretty funny guy. But there's going to be a ton of creators. Some of the teams, Charles Soule and Ryan Brown, are going to be a DC fold-in. The pages fold in or out, probably in. But they have a ton of names tied to this. You got Kyle Starks. You got Mark Waid is going to be in there. Steve Lieber is going to do something. Mark Russell, Jeff Parker. Mitch Gerrits is going to be in it. Joe Quiñones, Scott Snyder, Josh Williamson, Denise Camp, Gail Simone.
Okay. This is getting kind of weird because like the Mad shit's always like by like the normal people.
Yeah.
You know, the normal band of idiots or whatever.
They used to have like a whole Mad office, didn't they? Like DC?
Yeah. So it's kind of weird that like these writers are just doing Mad
I think it's,
stories.
But they're DC Mad stories.
I only trust
stories.
Kurt Russell.
Mark Russell. Yeah, true.
He's the only one who like would get it, you know?
Ryan North. You'd get it too.
Like, I know they can like do comedy.
Right.
But it's like something specific about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it's a very specific genre of, I guess, comics comedy. So that's interesting.
We'll see how they do. When's that come out?
That one is on April 1st.
Mm.
Is that a Wednesday? Is that why they're doing this?
Probably.
Let me look. April 1st is a Wednesday. So they're like, let's do a Mad book. Daniel's going to be a Lore Olympus adult animated series on Prime Video.
Adult, you say?
Adult. It's coming from Webtoon and Jim Henson Company. And it's Jim Henson's first ever adult animated series. That company's first ever adult animated series. Well, that's interesting.
It's just like puppets like having sex.
I don't think they're going to be puppets, but I wouldn't be against that necessarily. That's neat.
That is cool.
Yeah. Sophie's excited about that and she'll be there day one.
Yeah. We don't have to like read it for the pod.
I know. Yeah. What are we going to do?
I kind of like when that happens. Like, I haven't read it.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't got to worry about
that.
We
get it. Nathan, you like when James Tynion the fourth has a thing that he made that's going to be into a show or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Has he had anything made into a show?
It's all work in progress.
Officially? All of his stuff is like
kind of... This takes some time. We find out about it.
We've been doing this for years.
We find out about it when things get optioned, which is like someone has the option to make it, but doesn't mean it's going to get made, you know?
I guess it's never the best option.
They go into development hell and whatnot.
We've heard everything of his, I guess.
Exquisite Corpses is getting a movie.
No way. That's crazy. We'll see what happens there. Like, surely one of them's got to hit and be an actual show at some point, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it's just they just all got locked up real early.
Like, Something's Killing the Children is supposed to be one, wasn't it?
Yeah, name any of his books. They probably have been.
Meme Tick.
Huh?
Have you heard of that one?
Meme Tick?
Yeah, it's like one of his books they did early in his career, and it's like if you see a certain meme on the internet, you like die or something.
I hope that one's made first.
That one might actually be pretty good. Yeah, I just remember seeing it, and there's like a sloth on the cover, and I was like, this looks weird. And then I later found out that it was James Tynion.
That's so bizarre.
Isn't that crazy? I'm going to look it up, make sure that's real.
Me too. Boom Studios. Oh, I've seen this.
Yeah. That's him, right?
Yeah.
It is. Who did he get?
That?
Yeah. Eric Donovan and Adam Gazowski. Now, I wonder if that's any good.
3.9.
That's pretty good for a book about memes.
3 issues.
Nice.
Oversized issues, looks like. Dude, oh my
god. So that one would probably be a TV show.
Nathan, you remember when they announced Firestorm for this year as a new book?
Yeah.
They announced the team. Well, the book is going to be called The Fury of Firestorm.
Cool.
Art by Rafael De La Torre.
Okay.
Written by Jeff Lemire.
Ooh. Cool. I'm in.
You're in?
We're in.
Hold on.
Firestorm, I feel like, could be pretty cool, but he's never had anything good, it feels like. This is coming from a guy that's never read a Firestorm book. So.
Yeah.
But this might be the first.
You got Firestorm for $1 in our auction.
Dude, what a steal. I'm an early investor, Daniel. Penny stocks. That's cool. I can tell you about Kevin Smith's new DC book. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, Bizarro, Year None.
Year None, because it's the opposite, Daniel. And one is...
Yeah. Zero is the opposite of one?
Yours is the opposite of many things, if you think about it. Anyway, he's going to be on the book with Nick Patera.
Patara?
How the fuck does he get that? That's pretty cool.
By being fucking available for a long time.
I guess so. Yeah, what's Nick been up to? You just did Axe Builder John, and that was it. It feels like for a while.
What, like 3 years ago?
Yeah. I have that book.
Maybe some covers or something?
Yeah, I think it's mainly been covers, but he's going to be fully into this 4-issue limited series that's going to be also co-written by some dude.
Eric Carasso
from Supergirl.
Have you seen any of the pages for it?
No, they look cool.
It looks very cool.
Sweet. I like Nick Patara.
I think he knew about this for a long time because there's a picture of Frank Quitely holding his Bizarro page and then he's holding the All-Star Superman page, like the cover that sold for like however much. And I guess, and that was like last year or something. So
wait, that one Superman cover?
That one, the All-Star Superman cover.
The sitting one or the one where he's the behind the sun?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's in front of the sun.
In front of the sun? Yeah, if he was behind the sun, no one could see him. So, damn, he has been working on this for a while, I guess.
I mean, his shit's very detailed and probably takes, like, a fuck-ass long time.
Yeah, probably. But that's cool. I'll be picking that up.
Let me tell you what else you're picking up, Maven.
What else?
Romeo and Juliet and Godzilla.
Dude. Yes, I'm absolutely picking that up.
Coming April 8th. Adam Tierney? What was his name?
Isn't it Frank Thierry?
Frank Thierry and Sean Peacock.
Dude, hell yeah.
Yeah, why did it change his name to Adam? Maybe I was right.
Does Juliet have to pick who her like true love is? And it's like, I got Romeo and I got Godzilla.
Look at the size of Godzilla's dick. No, it is Adam Tierney. So
Tierney?
Tierney.
Oh, well, Frank Thierry's been doing a lot of the Godzilla stuff. He did the Here There Be Monsters.
And it's like the Godzilla Monsterpiece Theater.
What are you saying to me?
Godzilla's Monsterpiece Theater.
What is that?
Like, does that art style look familiar to you?
No, but it looked awesome.
Remember like the fucking like Great Gatsby one that came out like last year?
A Great Gatsby Godzilla book?
Oh my God, you're killing me.
Wait, is that fucking real? There was a Great Gatsby Godzilla book?
Godzilla, I think it was called, I think your dumbass friend Parker was telling you about it.
Don't remember.
It's painful being on a podcast with you sometimes.
Why? What? I don't
remember anything.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, Godzilla's Monsterpiece Theater. Have you seen this cover?
I've never seen that in my life, I'm going to be honest.
Never mind.
Was that good?
I don't know. I've never read it, dude.
What? You're the Godzilla guy.
I'm not.
Just you are. More so than anybody else I know.
Okay. Anyway, I think that's awesome. It's coming. Do we got like some teaser trailers today for trailers that come out tomorrow?
Yeah.
So.
What the hell is that? Wait, some? I only saw the Darth Vader or Darth Maul one.
Yeah, Star Wars, Darth Maul, Shadow Lord.
Do we know about that?
Animated series, maybe. I think so. And then Masters of the Universe.
Mm.
That one actually showed something. Like you saw He-Man or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool. Are we going to read the Darth Maul book?
Yeah, I think there's a couple.
There's one that I read that was fun.
I was looking into some of the legend stuff, and they're actually like pretty easily available. Like you would think like only like the Marvel stuff would be available to like, you know, buy digitally and stuff, but no, like a lot of the Dark Horse stuff and whatnot.
Oh, cool.
It's like not hard to find.
I think just Dark Horse plays ball. They're cool to whatever.
I fucking guess. I don't know.
That's cool. But yeah, I really enjoyed the Darth Maul one from I guess that would have been like 10 years ago. But it's got Luke Ross on it. Have you seen Luke Ross art?
Probably.
He's done a lot of like Star Wars stuff recently, and his shit's awesome.
Did you read that, really?
I did.
What was it about?
It was about Darth Maul. He's doing some stuff.
Uh-huh.
I think it was like early Darth Maul stuff. So before he gets cut in half. So is this Darth Maul series going to be after he gets cut in half?
I think so. I think it's like maybe after Clone Wars. I don't know what happens at the end of Clone Wars, but
do you see him get his spider legs in Clone Wars, or do you just have that already?
I don't know. I think he shows up with spider legs.
So we get to see how the spider legs happen?
Don't That's ask. What I'm interested in. I haven't watched Clone Wars.
I remember I looked through the comments of the teaser, and someone was like, I hope we get to see, because apparently they this do one? Something with his legs. Yeah, that one. Apparently something happens with his legs, and his legs are a thing too. Like they put something onto his legs. I saw that in just a random comment for the Darth Maul.
They can turn into arms.
Like I think they just put something like on his legs, and it's like a robot that has legs or something. Speaking of Star Wars.
Of legs?
And legs, actually, yes. I was watching the first two, A New Hope and Empire, while I was at the hotel that I was in.
Okay.
In Texas. Do you know what color C-3PO is?
What color C-3PO is?
Yeah.
Like gold?
Like all of them?
All of him?
Do you think all of him is gold?
His midsection like is exposed.
No, dude, he's got a silver leg. One of his legs is dead ass just silver.
Hold on.
Do you have a C-3PO? This one doesn't know ball. No, this is the red-armed one.
Yeah, I think they fixed it. Oh, what about that one?
No, this one is Babu Frick. It's the same thing.
That's Rise of Skywalker. No, dude,
his right like shin down to like his foot is like chrome.
I think it's just something about that Texas TV.
No, dude, I'm being. I looked it up because I was like, what the fuck is that? Look up just a picture of C-3PO.
Oh shit! The first thing that pops up. It's like a Lego figure.
Is it a Lego figure?
Kind of an ugly Lego figure.
Isn't that crazy?
That's upsetting.
It's so upsetting. You could barely note it. Like, you could barely tell. Most of the movie.
This is a Mandela effect.
Dude, it is. And I'm so
glad. Give me the real one back.
Yeah, throw that one away.
I like the red arm one.
I like the red arm one, too, because we read the comic and it made me cry.
It's got meaning.
Yeah, it does have meaning. Who cares about the silver fucking leg? Why is it silver? I'm glad that upset you as much as it did me when I was watching the movie. Oh, when he didn't have his, like, I don't know, shields on, his plates on. What do you call that?
His
guts were out.
Exterior?
Sure.
It's not like armor.
His shell?
But yeah, I always like that one.
Yeah, that one's cool.
Nathan.
What?
CBR.
Comic book. Reviews.
Resources. Resource? Anyway, they had the top 100 comics of 2025.
Oh, damn.
You wanna...
Deadpool, Batman.
That was like 15 or something.
Really? Batman, Deadpool. Batman number one.
Okay. You're throwing out too many guesses and it's a list of 100 things, so...
Oh, what did you want me to guess?
Just ones that you think. All right. Batman, number 28.
Batman number one was?
Yeah. It's not like single issues. It's just series. all together.
Oh, okay. Absolute Batman.
What was that?
Usually it's top 10-ish.
Two.
Is it like an actually good list of just like there's a lot of indie stuff in there?
Yeah, it's solid. It's okay. Diverse.
Hmm. Exquisite Corpses.
I'm over this. Guess what the top three are.
The top three?
I guess you already did Absolute Batman, so.
Is that one of them?
Two, like I said.
Ultimate Spider-Man?
Nope. One you've read and one you are aware of.
One I've read and one I'm aware of. Aware of as in like... Okay. What was my topo last year? Drome?
Number three.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, my boy, Jesse. I thought that was like a low-key banger.
Yeah, you're not that underground.
Dude, no one's talked about it that I've seen, and I don't follow anybody that talks about comic books, so that's underground. I don't know. What's the first one?
You're basically the only one who's read it. Ace, Assorted Crisis Events.
Ooh, really? People really like that shit.
I fucking guess.
It's not shit. It's good. I like the first issue. I guess we got to read it. Maybe it's good.
Not on the show.
Not on the show.
I really don't ever want to do like anthologies again.
Yeah, it's kind of tough.
It's just like exhausting.
It is.
To like
I agree.
Listen to, you know, and then also like just talking about so many stories is just kind of is weird.
Yeah. Fair enough. That's cool. Good list. Drome number three. I got snubbed. Mm-hmm. Should be number one. That's fun.
Well, what book did we read this week?
We read Marvel's. By Kurt Busiek? Busiek? How do you say that dude's name?
I pronounce it Busiek.
Busiek?
Yeah, but who knows if that's correct. I think I've heard other people Busiek. Say it that way. But
yeah. Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross. This is like the other big thing Alex Ross has done, it feels like. It's like Kingdom Come in this. Or am I crazy? Is there another one?
He's done a lot of stuff, but I think this is like... The Marvel like Kingdom Come in a way.
Pretty much.
You know, just
was this first?
I don't know. I don't think so.
You think it was Kingdom Come first and then he did this?
Yeah, I think Kingdom Come is like 90s and this is like early 2000s.
Really? That's so interesting to me.
It takes him a fucking minute to do all this. So.
Well, yeah. But it feels like when I think of Alex Ross style, I think of Kingdom Come more often than I would think of like this.
Maybe because you've just... known that and lived with it longer.
No, even when he like posts stuff, it feels like it's closer to his Kingdom Come style, which seems just more kind of realistic-ish in general. But I like this because it feels like he's tuning into like a Norman Rockwell type style and not necessarily his like trying to be super realistic thing.
Are you talking about with like just the people?
Just like the people or like...
I think this just has more people in it. And so it seems, and it's based in like the past, you know?
Uh-huh. Nah, I'll get to what I mean, but so you've read this before. Did you read the Zero issue too?
Yeah.
Okay. This is pretty good though. I like it.
The Zero issue?
All of it.
You think it's pretty good?
I think it's pretty good.
This is like one of the best comics I've ever read.
Do you think it's one of the best comics you've ever read still?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Like
it's very interesting.
I think I appreciate it more now because like
oh totally
the point of view stuff of the photographer and whatnot,
yeah,
it's just like that's more interesting to me now than like before. Maybe I was just waiting for the hero stuff to happen,
yeah,
you know, and I can just appreciate how well this is written and how cool it is that like things in history are incorporated into the story.
Yeah, that's when I started to. When it clicked that this is just referencing a bunch of stuff that happened in like 60s, 70s, 80s comics or whatever, that was an interesting perspective because it's supposed to be like everything big that was happening in Marvel Comics, you know, was actually all in one universe. And there's a guy there that's been like photographing it pretty much. And that's really sweet.
Yeah, I think this is like
fun.
This could be like one of those like, all-timer like goated comics for me.
Yeah,
like I'll have it when I'm like 80, you know, and just on that rotation of just the classics for me.
Yeah, I would like to see like a deeply annotated like
there's
thing
one.
Of this
Like, I think annotated by Kurt Busiek.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's just like the same book. And he's like, I pulled this from Fantastic Four 50.
Did you see the back matter page?
That references everything in there. But I want to see why he thought that some of those were like what I should put in there. Or like, I want to see like his thought process of that. Cause that's all very interesting to me.
Yeah.
But it's very uniquely done in this too. Cause it kind of feels like its own life story in a way before life story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just enjoy that. Incorporating tons and tons of history. And it feels like it's all kind of happening at once in some of these issues. There is a gripe that I have with it that happens in like the middle of it. And I'm like, what are we doing? And I also think that the main character kind of sucks sometimes. But he's supposed to suck.
Well, like, everyone kind of sucks sometimes.
Not me.
I beg to differ.
Yeah. But other than those two things, this is pretty incredible. And it's a very fun read. And I was reading it on a plane, which is sick because I could just like binge a bunch of it at once.
Yeah.
And
you know, I probably would have fell asleep on a plane reading this.
But you like to fall asleep on planes.
Yeah. I try not to, though.
I'm locked in the whole time on a plane. Like, I kind of love plane rides just so I could read comics and like not feel bad about it. Like, I not feel like I should like, be doing try laundry reading, or something.
Get too tired, watch a movie, get too tired and fall asleep.
You know? That happened on the way back because I was up really late and drunk and hungover.
Yeah.
But I still read some.
Hungover flights are the worst.
Yeah. Not our best move.
Anyway, the thing that I like more about Kingdom Come is like all the redesigns. Since it's based in like the future.
That's pretty cool.
That's like seems harder and is like more impressive.
Yeah, harder to accomplish, and then it kind of deconstructs characters a lot because it's pushed in the future.
Yeah.
And they're not the same characters as you know and love now.
And I guess like the plot could be more interesting, you know.
In this or in Kingdom Come?
In Kingdom Come, just because it's like what it's about, you know.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like a rehashing thing.
You know what? Alex Ross did like Justice. I think is what it was called.
Yeah.
And I have that physical trade somewhere and I just haven't read it all. That just popped in my head when you were talking about that. But
yeah.
Yeah. Since this is fresh on my mind, I think I like this better. But I think if I were to reread Kingdom Come, I might appreciate it more. Because I didn't really know what was going on when we read it, I feel like.
That's a downfall of it.
For sure. But now that I am a bigger nerd, I think, and I kind of, I mean, I still don't really understand what the Spectre is about, to be honest.
He's a ghost.
He's a ghost, and he's like trying to help redeem somebody or something. But I don't know. Maybe there's a rereadability to these, which I think is really important and sick. And even if you're not a big nerd and you don't understand the references of like Gwen Stacy's death or, I don't know, X-Men shit happening or anything like that, or like Secret Wars is the thing in this, I think, you know, even if you don't pick up on those, you don't necessarily need to, because it's just like it's shit that's happening. And it's from the perspective of this guy that wants to just take photos. And that's pretty cool. Who
also doesn't know what's happening.
Who also doesn't know what's happening. And he's like, this is weird. I should like spend time with my family, maybe.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Anyway, do you have anything to say about the issue zero?
Yeah, I got notes on it.
All right, go for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a smaller one, but there's a scientist. His name is Phineas Horton. We don't ever see him again, but he created the world's first android. Except he made a little oopsie, Daniel, because when the android's just kind of out and about, oxygen makes him combust into flames. So he's the human torch. And in a live demonstration, he scared the public and forced Phineas to place what they were calling the human torch into a metal coffin where he would remain fully conscious in the dark for like years on end. And while in the coffin, Phineas Horton would still like communicate with him in like some headphones, I think. About life and stuff like that, which is kind of even more depressing. I think he was just like
streaming info.
Yeah, which is more depressing.
Yeah.
Either way, it's depressing because he's like fully conscious in this like dark coffin.
I didn't pick up that he was a robot. Like I know Human Torch in the like 40s or whatever is like a robot.
Android, yeah.
But like I was like, how is he surviving when he got buried or whatever?
And eventually there's like a crack in the coffin in the concrete that he's under and he like explodes the coffin and he just escapes so he could like live his life or whatever. But that's kind of just setting up some of the stuff that happens in here. But there are really interesting, more abstract Alex Ross stuff in this zero issue than there is in the rest, because there's these like thermal scans of, I forget the dude's actual name,
Who cares?
It's like Tim Horton or something.
Tim Horton is a
that's the Canadian coffee thing. Place. I know, but it's like it's something like that.
It's pretty good coffee.
It's TH, I want to say, but you know, there's really interesting paintings here. I feel like these are less typically structured pages because a lot of them are just like big pieces with like words on them. And I was like, this is cool. But then in the rest of the book, there's like panels that he actually does.
Yeah.
Which is better, I feel like, but for that story that they're telling. But I thought that was cool too. He does also a really great, like fiery person.
His fire is the best.
His fire is awesome. It's so good. But that's why I think this is like a little bit less realistic because he's leaning into some of the more artistic capabilities of like making just a fire look good rather than making it look like a realistic fire. You know what I mean? And there's parts of Human Torch stuff in this book where I'll point it out, but also he should just be fucking insane, right? Like if you're totally conscious in a dark room and like you finally get to escape, he seems like pretty noble about it when he leaves, but I would be like, oh fuck, get me out of here, like get me away from this.
How long do you think he's in there,
dude? Like a decade or something. Or at least a couple years.
Like a guess, or is that like info that we know?
There's some info that we know, and it's like years.
He said it felt like years. But maybe it was just like, I don't know, like 2 weeks?
No, not 2 weeks.
But he's also like a dude, robot.
He had to wait for the concrete to like crack.
Because wasn't he dug up?
No.
He waited for like concrete to just disintegrate or something?
Yeah, I think that's actually what happened. Anyway, issue one, Daniel. It's 1939. There's an independent reporter named Phil Sheldon who attends the unveiling of the Human Torch for the first time when he combusts into flames. Eventually, Phil starts seeing superpowered people that he calls marvels on the streets of New York, like the Human Torch and Namor. Phil witnesses a fight between Namor and Human Torch and reports both sides of the confrontation and how they kind of like work it out in the end. And Phil is scared of these marvels and like calls off his own wedding until this like marvels phase blows over so that he can feel like he can protect his family fully. And that's why you call off your wedding, I guess. But Captain America pops up because it's like wartime and there's a ton of people that, you know, he's gaining favor in the public. They're showing him in those movie theaters. And then Namor throws a huge wave at New York. Phil's on top of a building watching Namor and Human Torch fight. And there's like some debris that hits Phil and he loses an eye in the process. But later on, Phil and Doris get married. Phil goes to Europe as a war photographer and he witnesses a team of Marvels led by Captain America invade a Nazi base, which opens up a new age of like Marvels, I guess. So this is kind of like the emerging of heroes, but it's in like the late 30s. So the first ones. So you start.
Is this
to,
the
you,
Defenders?
Invaders.
Invaders.
Which is a scarier name. Should be Defenders. But Defenders is later Marvel time. Yeah. So it's what's the Invaders team again? It's this Human Torch, Namor, Captain America, Bucky,
Toro.
Toro is the one I was thinking of.
There's like two Human Torches.
What?
Yeah.
They got two of those guys?
Yeah, there's just two for some reason.
Toro's the one I was thinking of.
Dude.
There's a Nighthawks reference in this.
Again.
Again, dude. This has happened like, this is like the fifth time of recent that feels like it's happened.
Definitely five times on the pod.
Dude, it's definitely more than five on the pod. I'll have to reread everything and just like get a compilation of Nighthawks references.
I like when it happens, but like
now it just feels tacky.
Was it like 2 weeks ago or something?
Dude, yeah, it was like pretty recent. It's not even that good of a painting.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
There's Eden. No, it's pretty good.
You know that episode of SpongeBob where like Mr. Krabs is naked for some reason?
And playing good gravy, like, he's naked.
He says good grief, actually. I thought it was good gravy too.
I think it's good gravy. I think you're wrong. Oh, but good grief. No, I think you're right.
That's what I thought when I saw Namor. Because I'm like, good grief, he's naked.
Good grief, he's naked. Dude, he draws such a good naked man. Alex Ross.
Yeah, he's just naked the entire time.
His abs are crazy. Oh, yeah, he is naked when he like, he's not even in trunks.
Yeah, no trunks, nothing.
Yeah.
And like, even in like, when he goes to war and shit, his dong's just out.
That's sick. That's how you know, like, don't fuck with that guy.
It's a dong made for war.
It really is. Phil calling off his wedding is stupid.
It's kind of like,
because he's got some like masculinity complex or something, and it's like,
this is like a fucking nuke going off like every other week. It feels like, like the city could potentially be destroyed every time these guys pop off.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't think he could like protect his wife with these kind of conditions, you know? And
but to like, just be like, let's wait for it to blow over is, I mean, I guess I could see what you're saying, because if there were a bunch of nukes going off, I would assume that they would eventually stop.
Imagine you're planning a wedding and then Godzilla comes.
And then I have to be like,
and then a month later, Godzilla comes back again. Why would you be like, let's just keep going? No way he comes back in April, you know?
That's what I thought. No way it rains on my wedding. But it did. And you know what? We had the wedding anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I get like, if it's, if there's Godzilla in Arizona, East Valley, like miles away, I think I would still have the wedding. I'm not going to lie. I'd be like, we booked it already. You know what I mean? We
can't get our deposit back.
We got to do it. Godzilla or not. Anyway, it feels like
it is.
He doesn't prioritize his family a lot in this book.
Right.
Because he's like a hardworking reporter man. But there's like shit that he does in this. I think
it's also like a different kind of time where like that was like the main thing men like cared about and like had to care about.
Like protecting your family or whatever.
Providing.
Yeah.
Working a lot, you know?
That too.
Work-life balance was really a thing. True. Everyone in this...
in the golden age.
Everyone in, like, the public, they think, like, everything they see is, like, a trick.
Yeah, it's like a hoax.
Like, they see a guy on fire, they're like, oh, it's a trick of the light. I'm like, what the fuck?
They reference an Orson Welles thing, the World of Worlds. It's like, they're like, it's one of those things again. And I think that's kind of funny. Because it famously created a bunch of public panic. But maybe it was like right after the Orson Welles thing. And they're like, it's probably one of those again.
Yeah. Okay. There's like a hero, like
Flash Page
leaping a building. No.
Oh, yeah. Superman.
Yeah. I'm like, why is Superman here?
Superman's definitely, that's just like, who else could that be? It's a dude.
It looks like Doctor Strange in a way.
He's not jumping anywhere.
Yeah, like why would he be jumping a building?
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, there's probably somebody, but I just don't know him. Do you know who any of these people on this last splash page are?
Dude, like the fuck page? No. I was like,
because
this is not the invaders we know.
No. I mean, you see, there are two Human Torches.
Yeah.
Whoa, I didn't even notice that. There's a Ghost Rider looking dude. There's a Vision looking guy, but it's not Vision. But yeah, I wonder if that's in the back matter somewhere.
There was a quote that I liked, whereas like heroes are new and they're like, these people should be paying for the damage that they're causing. And then Phil's like, do you expect a storm to pay for the damage that they caused?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like,
true.
Good
point. On this last page, this is what I'm talking about with the fire. Like, he's not really trying to make it look like realistic fire trails, I guess. But it looks cooler this way. You know what I mean? So that's why I think his work is more dynamic in this book. Like he's not going for realism. He's going for, like, a dynamic sort of feel. And I think that's why I like his art in this maybe better than Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come can be kind of hard to read because there's so much happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he like makes everyone like shiny.
Right.
And so it's like
there's a lot of,
and there's like unrecognizable designs because they're new.
Right.
You know, but there's,
he makes these retro designs really work too.
I feel like that's like what he does for like covers and stuff all the time.
Yeah.
For like DC specifically.
Yeah, specifically.
But then,
well, he did it for Marvel a lot too.
A couple of years ago, when he was doing a bunch of shit for Marvel, it was like all the new legacy characters. And he did those guys like Miss Marvel and like,
oh yeah,
like Miles Morales and stuff. Yeah, there's a page with
he's
like
good at it.
There's a page with just like headlines and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's like Captain America prevents a damn explosion.
Prevents a damn explosion.
Yeah, yeah. I read that too fast.
He prevents a damn explosion. Damn, you couldn't be.
So Namor like makes a tsunami hit New York.
Yeah.
And when you're like in the point of view of this photographer the whole time, and then you just see a tsunami hit your city, it's fucking terrifying.
People are dead.
I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
People are like super dead and Namor's still part of the invaders.
Like maybe they're not knocking over buildings or whatever. I feel like it should, but like.
Oh, it definitely would have.
I don't know. Maybe it's like a. Maybe it's
buildings
like,
in New York aren't built very well. I watched a whole video essay on them. But like a lot of them have like pendulums and shit in them to counteract wind. Like just wind.
Yeah, dude, they're like meant to.
They're meant to wobble shake. a little bit.
It's a little freaky.
But a tsunami hitting it.
You ever see videos of people like in their apartments during like a windstorm?
Oh my God, fuck that.
Yeah. I'm like, how are you supposed to sleep with that? You're just rocking in the air.
Some people like that though. You ever sleep on a cruise and it's kind of nice because you're moving?
No. I get motion sickness.
I know. And that's something that you'll never experience. But it's kind of nice when you're like not a pussy and you just get rocked to bed.
Mom and dad didn't rock me, okay?
Is that what causes it?
I had to self-soothe, probably.
You rocking Lucas?
Like literally multiple times a day.
Okay, good. So he can enjoy a cruise.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like Namor should have just been like public enemy number one after this. But we literally see him like 10 pages later helping to stop the Nazis. So
he is like one of the most like confusing characters.
Dude,
like,
he is.
He's not like good or bad. He's always kind of working in the interest of like his kingdom or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he's like an anti-hero, I guess. But it's like
I don't even consider him that.
Most of the time, he's just kind of a dick.
He's a dick. Hitting on Sue. Storm.
Yeah. Anyway, issue
two. But for some reason, he's in the invaders. So I don't know. Yeah, issue two. So there's a time jump. Sheldon is now a husband and a father. Phil Sheldon. He's a husband and a father. And he's photographing all the Marvels that have now started to pop up, which he plans to publish in a book that he's making. There is a wave of anti-mutant X-Men paranoia, and Phil Sheldon even hates them after overhearing and misinterpreting something that Cyclops says when he says they aren't worth it when referring to like the people. But he misinterprets it as like he sees them as like lesser beings, I guess, but Cyclops is telling X-Men like, oh, they're not worth the trouble. So he just mishears that. But later, Phil comes home to find that one of his daughters have been helping out to hide a mutant child from angry mobs in the neighborhood. So Phil decides to help the mutant child, but mainly to like protect his family from violence. And so Phil he's dealing with that, but he goes to Reed and Sue Richards' wedding, and it's a big like superhero wedding. But that night, Sentinels are released to hunt down mutants. There's a bunch of like raging mobs in the streets and stuff. Phil goes home and he finds that the mutant girl has left on her own, and she left a note saying that she's leaving so that Phil's family doesn't get hurt. And Phil has like a change of heart about mutants.
I didn't expect Black Knight to be in this.
Yeah. And he's like a bad guy?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know what Black Knight's up to.
He's got a horse?
He definitely has a horse. That I knew.
But as soon as he popped up in like Eternals for whatever reason, I'm like, what's he about?
He's got a sword, a black sword. Ebony Blade, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
And it's good at killing people. We should read a Black Knight book.
Someday.
There's this like famous page of him taking a picture of Giant Man from like the upskirt. Or whatever you call that angle. And it is, I feel like, just as iconic as he meant it to be. Because it's awesome.
It's so sick.
It is such a good shot. And then like the next panel, seeing the Giant Man crotch reflect off of Phil's like glasses.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's all so good. So I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Cyclops look cool as fuck in these pages, even though they paint him look kind of evil.
Yeah, they always make the mutant pages like super red.
Very red because of Cyclops shine. His visor.
Oh, yeah.
My biggest gripe, I think, with this whole story is that I don't believe that people would only be racist towards X-Men and not the regular Marvels.
Well,
because like, how would you know the difference if they weren't representing some sort of X-Men like paraphernalia? Like if they just didn't wear any X-Men affiliated costumes.
But they do, and that's all they know.
But like, why is that?
Well, that just shows how like powerful like the media is at this point. And how like a narrative can be carried, and it's kind of all just propaganda.
That I understand.
And then somebody just kind of blew out of proportion that they're the next
Step in Evolution.
Step in Evolution mean that we are going to be phased out.
But if that's, I mean, there's a bunch of Marvels that he's calling them superpower people popping up. And I just feel like people wouldn't have the dissonance to separate. I feel like it would just be an all or nothing kind of deal. Like you're racist towards all the superpower people or you're not.
Yeah,
and so that's what I have a hard time following, I guess, in this. Because Phil himself is like, dude, these superpower people are awesome. I just took this sweet shot of fucking giant man was walking over me. But these guys with fucking yellow costumes and their Cyclops eyes and one of them has wings, fuck those guys. That's the thing I have trouble with.
Yeah. But it's just like how it's written.
Yeah. I mean,
and how like the history goes.
I understand what they're saying in it, and I appreciate the commentary that they're saying with media and, you know, weaponizing a group of people. But
those kids are like playing pretend or whatever. Mm-hmm. And one of his daughters is like, I'm the Human Torch. You be the eel. Like, who the fuck's the eel?
Yeah. You really took a stray coming the eel on that one.
Yeah.
We see Phil in the red room. And I really like this page because it's so red, but you can see everything that's going on. And I just think that's impressive.
And that's like when he's processing like the X-Men photos.
Yeah. So he's like, he's enraged. It seems like.
His editor lets him write something for the paper. And he says that he needs like 10 inches. I've never thought of like.
Oh, like a column that's like.
Yeah. 10 inches. Like yeah. You have to write something. Within like a measurement, I guess.
How do they know how to do that? How did they do that? They didn't have Word back then.
A ruler?
I guess so.
You just type it up and...
What are they typing on? A typewriter, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
How they know what font to use. And what size font. Oh, dude. Did you see Stiltman in this?
What? No.
Oh my god, and you missed the Stiltman page?
I missed the Stiltman page.
Oh my god, page 88?
I think we have different editions, but I'll try it.
I made sure to get the same one, just so that...
it is Stiltman!
It's in the reflection of his lens?
Oh my god, it's an upskirt of Stiltman! What is this angle?
Upskirt is like probably the only way... Yeah, he's like fighting Daredevil?
Yeah, I saw Daredevil, and I'm like, oh, he's swinging on some poles, that's cool. But no, that's Stiltman.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I like seeing campy characters drawn by Alex Ross.
It's kind of like his forte almost.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, the Human Torch in that like wedding photo looks like such a dork.
I know. I'm like,
this guy,
if he's the best man or whatever,
lit on fire.
Put him in a suit. He looks goofy in these blue pajamas that he's wearing.
And just like his face.
His face is also goofy.
Put his face in a suit.
I think Scarlet Witch looks weird in this. Why is her headdress so big?
That's how it was.
We also see Doctor Strange in this splash page, and we don't see him at all in this book, except for this part. I just thought that was fun.
Yeah.
Same with Hawkeye.
What's kind of sad about the mutant girl that lived in the basement is that they like never found out what happened to her. Like they just never heard from her again.
I think she made it back.
Yep,
and it's fine, and everything was cool,
and didn't know how to.
I would like to get that kind of closure though, to at least see that, like, because in the cover of this issue is pretty cool. It's like Angel carrying the mutant child or whatever, and I wish we would have seen.
Is that a mutant that is like a character that we know of?
Not that I've seen.
Okay.
I wish we saw a more prominent page of the Thing in this issue. He's got. Such a fun design, but we only see him in like little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Even though this is like when the Fantastic Four were introduced. We do see him in the next issue though, so.
You remember in The Road to Civil War how Spider-Man was fighting Titanium Man?
Yeah.
There's Titanium Man reference in this on the TV.
Mm-hmm. I do remember seeing that. And I'm like, that's that one guy. He's going to cause a war soon. Contribute. The Sentinels look cool. They're pretty intimidating in this.
Yeah, definitely.
I would not be chill with those guys fucking flying around. Issue 3?
Yep.
So the public starts to hate the Avengers more. Phil is still working on his Marvels book that plans to paint them in like a more positive light. but the work behind doing it is affecting time with his family. And Doris is like, what the hell? One day, there's like an illusion of fire and meteors that appear in the sky, and the Silver Surfer shows up, and then soon Galactus shows up to like drain life from the planet. So the Fantastic Four fight to put a stop to it, but Phil, being powerless completely in this situation, he's just decides to like spend the end of the world with his family. And so the Fantastic Four eventually save the world, but the Daily Bugle publishes that the whole thing is a hoax. And Phil goes to yell at like J. Jonah Jameson, and he's like, what the hell are you doing? They just saved everybody. And then he just kind of just leaves pissed. But
the best Silver Surfer.
Easily. I think Alex Ross is the best at making like a shine.
Oh yeah.
Iron Man, Silver Surfer, like it's so cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
Even like these fire in the sky pages and like the meteors. I think I just like seeing his cityscapes because he's really good at those too. It's very, very fun. This first page of Galactus is pretty fucking awesome too. I don't know why the lens flare is all like that, but it looks pretty cool. Is he taking life force at this point? I don't know.
Is he like a figment of light or something?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. This is where we see the thing for the first time in full.
That's all you get.
What do you think of his design?
It's very strong. The Alex Ross's thing design is like a top three for me.
Nice. I think he's...
If he just split the eyebrow, it would have been like 10 out of 10.
No, I like unibrow, I think.
You like unibrow?
I think I'm a unibrow thing guy. But it is
strong.
It is very strong. I think he's a little bit chubby.
I think I prefer chubby, like a shredded thing is kind of...
I think just more formed, not even like... I don't even need to see like ab muscles, ab rocks, or pec rocks, but like he looks like a baby. He looks like a baby with a diaper
on. He's a rock baby.
He is a rock baby, dude.
Does he always have like that diaper on? Like the...
He makes it look... There should be shorts, but he makes it look like a diaper here.
Does he normally wear shorts?
It's shorts, I'm pretty sure.
Hmm. I don't know. Like, do you even need to wear pants if you're the thing? Like, yeah.
He'd be naked otherwise, Daniel. You want him streaking in the streets?
He's naked sometimes.
When?
Fan4Stick?
Yeah. And everybody hated it.
Because he's naked.
Because he was naked. Good gravy. Good grief, he's naked.
Good grief, he's naked.
This is the issue with the most, just like, Alex Ross putting his nuts out and just doing splash pages.
He couldn't wait for this one.
I was reading this one on the plane and I was like, thank God. Not only because it was like less reading, but I was like, fuck yeah, look at all these. Because there's like ultimate nullifier shit happening. This page where he got like knocked back a little bit and I think he's still floating. I don't really know what's going on. I don't think he's making contact with the streets, but it looks awesome.
Very.
There's a lot of cool stuff. There's a scene where the public thinks that Galactus won, and we see in the distance through somebody's like window, we see Uatu, the Watcher, is like standing next to Galactus.
Yeah, why is he so fucking big?
Why is he so big? Why is he there? We don't see him at all. Like, maybe this is a reference to like one of the 60s issues of the Fantastic Four, but it's very weird out of context to just see the Watcher there.
What the fuck is that?
I had that written down too. I think that might be like some Fantastic Four villain.
Like, oh shit.
Some dude's moshing.
Oh my goodness, what happened? I don't know. Yeah, basically.
Dude, I feel like I've seen it before. I just can't think of it.
Anyway.
It must have been like a lot of the events of this issue must have been a specific Fantastic Four thing.
Probably like just like the...
I think I saw it was like the first 48 through 50. I think I saw in the reference thing.
Probably the first time he like shows up.
Yeah. We finally see Peter Parker in this at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. And Jada Jordan Jameson.
How confusing would it be that like Silver Surfer shows up as things hitting the fan, but then Silver Surfer starts fighting back against
Galactus? What are we doing?
Yeah, we're like, what the What the, yeah.
I would probably think that Silver Surfer was there to try and like warn us, like the British are coming type shit.
Yeah.
Bill has like a shitty workaholics mentality that he justifies internally by saying he's doing it for his family. I don't like that. He's like, I'm working so hard for them, even when I say I'm going to take a day off.
When Phil's like on his way to his family, he sees people like listening to what's happening on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like an old man who's like, just get Captain America. He'll make everything fine. I'm like, what the fuck is Cap going to do?
What is he going to do? Like, what are most people going to do in this situation?
Yeah.
I like that we see an Alex Ross drawn and painted Ultimate Nullifier.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like what I know the Ultimate Nullifier
to be. Yeah, it's like this goofy Men in Black looking gun. But Galactus is like, all right, I'll sit this one out. But issue four?
Hold on one sec. You ever heard of Count Nefaria?
No.
That's like brought up.
Sounds like
I think it was in like a headline or something, but I don't know. Like, it's like the most recognizable Marvel characters in this. And then they'll throw out like the Eel or Count Nefaria. And I'm like,
hell yeah.
Sure.
I like that I'll just never know everything about this book, it feels like, even though we read comics all the time. Unless I read the annotated version.
Yeah, whenever
that's why I'm interested.
It's not like an event, but whenever there's an event, I'm like, I do not know everything that's happening.
I think that's fine. Sometimes we're Phil in the situation where we see Count Nefaria.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he probably knows who Count Nefaria is because it's on a headline, but like there's just shit going on. You don't know what's going on most of the time. You just know the world's saved or it's not by the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Count Nefaria imprisoned the whole city and the X-Men were spotted fighting him. That's like what one of his buddies says.
That sounds bad. that would make a headline.
Yeah.
You living in New York with all this shit's happening? Is it only happening in New York too? That seems.
I feel like everything in Marvel is like always in New York.
Yeah.
Which is boring.
Maybe move to like Chicago or something. If you're trying to raise a family.
Yeah. Or Jersey.
Jersey works too.
I mean, that's probably where he lives.
Phil?
Yeah.
Issue four. There's another time jump. Phil's old now. Like kind of super old. I don't know. He finally releases his book, The Marvels, which is a huge success. The superheroes are in Secret Wars, I think, at this moment.
I think it's like the Kree-Skrull War or something.
Yeah, the Kree-Skrull War. Were they in Secret Wars in the last issue?
I don't think that came up. This is like when they're all gone.
They're all gone because they're in the Kree-Skrull War. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But Phil has still dedicated a lot of his time to fixing the degrading public perception of the Marvels, especially Spider-Man, who was framed for Captain George Stacy's death. But he decided, I'm going to clear Spider-Man's name. So while investigating this, Phil talks to Dr. Octopus in jail, in which it becomes pretty obvious that Spider-Man is not at fault, but he can't really report on it because Doc Ock's not going to cooperate. So Phil interviews Gwen Stacy, George Stacy's
daughter.
Yeah. A bunch. Gwen is kidnapped by the Green Goblin, and he witnesses the Gwen Stacy death as Spider-Man attempts to save her, but snaps her neck. And this kind of fucks with Phil a little bit, and he's like, I hate the superhero stuff. And he retires, and he gives all of his stuff to his assistant, telling her to continue the journalism, because you can deal with it, because you're young. And he's like, but take a picture of me with my family. And there's like a final photo taken of him deciding to just let it go and be happy, and focus on what's important, I guess.
There's a crazy double page, or it's not even a double page spread, but it...
Just like the whole war happening.
Yeah.
It is
just a bunch of
bonkers
stuff.
You get... I like seeing...
Who's this other giant guy?
Good point. I have no idea. Hercules? We get like the original Captain Marvel in there. That's pretty fun.
There's a panel in this that just kind of lives in my head because it's like the number one thing I think of when I think of just facial expressions in comics and like how, yeah, just the faces people make when they're thinking or whatever. and I was really happy to see it again.
Okay.
But he asked like his coworker or something. He's like, what if the news is wrong or whatever? And then he's just like thinking or something.
That's a famous like thinking face.
For me, it is.
For you? Like that specific one?
Yeah, because it's just so funny.
It's kind of funny.
And it's just so good, and I just think about it a lot.
That's funny.
Whenever I see someone just do a good facial expression, I'm like, this is good.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like this one.
Mm-hmm. I like this Spider-Man climbing on the building, but you're inside the building and you're watching him.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I like the black and red Spider-Man costume too. I think they were just trying to be like historically accurate. I think
that's just like, is that...
Because like there was a time where it was blue and red, like in the very beginning, then it went to black and red
for a while. I thought it was like a lighting kind of thing.
No, I'm pretty sure. Because okay. I think if it was blue, it would look pretty blue the way that Alex Ross does it.
But. Right. So this issue, Phil wanted to kind of focus on clearing Spider-Man's name.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of why he was talking to Gwen Stacy, and he was finding out from her that George Stacy was like a pretty big advocate for Spider-Man, and that he was like pretty helpful.
Yeah.
And she was going to get him her dad's like journal that would have, you know, said all this stuff about Spider-Man
and how cool he was.
Yeah. And just kind of disproving that he would like kill him for any reason, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's like when she dies and he never gets like the journal.
Yeah. That adds a lot of context to, I feel like, just her death. Right. Timeliness of
he's
it.
He's just trying to like uncover that.
Yeah.
He's even asking like favors from people to get like these files and stuff on the case.
Yeah. I like how Alex Ross paints Doc Ock.
Mm-hmm.
Because I imagine that's a hard one to interpret. Just because I feel like old Doc Ock is very, I don't know, goblin looking or something. Like the way that his face and like his bowl cut and everything is shaped is just very weird. But then I look at this panel of him just like being angry or whatever, and I'm like, that just looks like a dude. And it really...
That's who Doc Ock is.
That's, yeah, I know. He's just a dude. But for some reason, like, I think of the campy one, and then the way that he's able to bridge the gap between that campiness and goblin looking...
It's probably pretty tough.
Yeah, so tough. But it's so impressive the way he's able to do it flawlessly, like, every time.
Uh-huh.
So, pretty cool that he's able to make it a believable design. We see some Luke Cage Hero for Hire stuff in this one as well.
He passes out business cards.
Yeah, I like that. So, he's the one on the street still doing stuff that matters. We get a weird Atlantean invasion again. Instead of it being a big wave, there's just like crab tanks and stuff. But I think that's one of the funniest pages.
Do you know of in Marvel history where like Yellow Jacket dies?
No.
Him and Wasp? Because I think Yellow Jacket was Hank Pym at the time.
Yeah. He's pretty much always Hank Pym.
It's something about...
Why is there a headline?
Yeah. Fire destroys Southampton home, claims lives of two Avengers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's Yellow Jacket and Wasp.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Or Yellow Jacket and a woman. But I think... I just assumed it was the Wasp.
Oh, and then there's an article later saying Ant-Man and Wasp alive.
Oh.
It's at the bottom of this one.
Okay.
So they're fine.
There's this panel of Daredevil.
Dude, I love how he always does that flip.
It is pretty cool, but it reminds me of like when I go to wipe Lucas's ass.
Yeah.
You know, where you have to like hold his feet.
Yeah, you're teaching him how to do that.
Yeah, I'm teaching him to be Daredevil. Like,
whenever you're doing a front flip, make sure you put your legs together. Yeah, I like that everybody's kind of just agreed that this is how Daredevil flips around. He likes to keep his legs straight for some reason.
Yeah. And then in that Atlantean invasion, they have like insane like tech and ships and stuff.
Crap tanks. Gotta love that. I like that Gwen Stacy's just taking it all in. She's like, wow, what a beautiful world we live in.
It's like, wow, even though there's like...
And like, you could die. There's like a lobster fucking vehicles coming after you.
Yeah. That could murder someone if they were stepped on.
I like that they modeled the planes or whatever these are after like flying fish. It looks like.
I think those were in Wakanda Forever.
Were they?
Yeah. I'm like, why does this look so familiar?
That's cool. The Spider-Man stuff in this is pretty cool. I mean, everybody knows the Gwen Stacy death, so you kind of know it's coming, but he makes it look pretty cool.
The picture that his assistant takes is of just some random kid delivering newspapers.
Dude, that's not his kid.
No.
That's so funny.
He's like, take a picture of me and this kid. He's like, what's your name, kid? And he's like, Danny Ketch.
Yeah.
Do you know who Danny Ketch is?
Is that a character?
Yes.
No.
He is the second Ghost Rider.
Oh my God. He's riding a bike.
Makes sense because he's riding a bike.
It was always there the whole time. Wait, Danny Ketch is the second Ghost Rider? Isn't it the Mexican kid?
No, that's something else.
He's the third or fourth even Ghost Rider?
Yeah.
Whoa. Which one is Nick Cage? Johnny Blaze?
Johnny Blaze. Yeah.
Danny Ketch. Wow.
Ghost Rider.
We should read a Ghost Rider book.
There is a Ghost Rider book with that, the Mexican Ghost Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Done by
Jason Aaron.
The art's done by
Iban Coelho.
Fucking, who's that?
Trad Moore?
Trad Moore, yeah.
There's a Trad Moore Ghost Rider book?
Mm-hmm.
And you have this big ass poster of his art on your wall and you forgot his name?
It's not an easy name.
It is. It's two syllables.
I'm tired.
That's okay.
Robbie Reyes.
Robbie Reyes. That's what it is.
Yeah. So if we ever get around to it.
I'm down. That sounds cool. Anything else on that fourth issue?
Nope.
Let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We'll get a lot of promo art. Alex Ross was cooking for a lot of these. And we get some cover sketches and stuff, character studies. This, like, this Namor page, I'm like, good Lord. Hey, that's a good looking man. And then we get a fucking Ben Grimm page where he's in the jacket and the fedora shit. Yeah. And I'm like, why don't we get this in the book? Because it looks so awesome. Like, why would they show us this and not put it in the book? And Dr. Doom.
Okay, so at a point in this book, Phil's sent to like an art exhibit where it's a bunch of sculptures of the heroes.
Yeah, and Dr. Doom's there.
And they were the sculptures were done by
Alicia,
which is Ben Grimm's blind girlfriend.
Yeah. I don't know if they were dating at that point, but
right. But that's how we know her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, did she just like touch everybody in order to like sculpt them? Cause
it's a valid question.
Like Iron Man, did she have to like touch all the crevices and stuff?
Huh. I never thought about that.
Or maybe there's a point where she wasn't blind, but I thought she was born that way.
I think she's always blind. No, didn't she lose her? No, I think she's always been blind.
That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, that's a good point. How does she know what Iron Man looks like? That's probably so weird. Because like, I assume she's used to like feeling people's faces and stuff. And then you just get to Iron Man and it's just like, I have no idea what
this really
is.
It really should just be the thing, you know?
That's like,
she's probably familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a whole ass Dr. Doom character page. We don't see him at all. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah. There's like Black Widow.
Yeah.
Who I think we see for like a second.
We do see her. There's like a trial that she's in court.
Oh.
While the Avengers are in space. There's a Black Panther page. We don't really see any of him, I don't think, at all. If we do, it's brief. But
yeah.
And then there's some like cover sketch ideas. And then we get like an afterword by Scott McCloud, which is like kind of bitter. Did you read that?
No.
He was basically saying that like he's like an artist and he was friends with Kurt, and Kurt would be doing like Big Two stuff, but would never be like critically acclaimed. And Scott would do like independent stuff that was never like commercially super popular, but it was critically acclaimed. And now Kurt has this thing that is a Big Two thing that is critically acclaimed. And he's just He's like, what the fuck?
Scott McCloud did those like understanding comics books.
Yeah, he said that. He actually mentioned that in this too. He's like, and those did well. But I'm sure it's like all jokes, but I'm like, it's kind of funny. And then there's a Marvel Sources page where they go through every reference to every comic that they put in this book, which is cool, but I ain't doing all that.
Yeah.
So, but it did confirm that a lot of that third issue with Galactus Fantastic Four stuff was through like Fantastic Four 48 through 50, which is just a bunch of Galactus events. But that's pretty cool. And then there's a bunch of like posters and stuff.
There's like homage covers.
Yeah, like those are cool.
There's like Alex Ross with hair.
Is that him?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wait, in this Amazing Fantasy 15?
No.
Oh.
In this page.
Oh, right, yeah, that's weird. He was definitely right to go bald.
He was hanging on to it.
Yeah, he was hanging on to it. We see a couple of his like
reference pages or pictures.
Yeah, his friends who are references, and they're like, he's like, ah, I hope they don't ever catch on that I should be paying him for all this. And then there's a really cool process page on how he does the Human Torch stuff, and he just like takes a picture of him, but then he turns it into a negative, and that's what he draws, and makes it. Then he just draws fire like around them, and it creates a man on fire effect, which I think is pretty effective. He's pretty smart to be doing that. And he also made a cardboard cutout head of Galactus so that he could use it in reference photos. And I think that's fun. I wonder if he still has it.
Probably.
But yeah, good back matter.
So in old X-Men comics, Beast like didn't have hair.
No hair.
He's just a big guy.
Big guy, big feet.
Big feet, no shoes.
Big feet, no shoes. Never shoes. And then also Iceman looks like snow.
Yeah.
Which is another thing. So I don't know when all that changed. Jean Grey was also like Marvel Girl, I think.
Oh.
So she went by a different name.
Uh-huh.
You see Angel in there. But yeah, Big Feet Man. Yeah, I forgot about that homage cover. So pretty fun. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
I would just give this a big old ice cream sundae banana split thing. You know, it's got all the classics, toppings and whatnot. It's delicious and everyone knows it's good. You know, it's timeless.
Mm-hmm.
And just the biggest thing you can order normally. What do you rate it?
Give me like a nice steak dinner.
Steak dinner.
Lots of pink.
Yeah.
That's just how I like it.
Yeah.
And you could tell that it was made by somebody that does this shit all the time. It's like at a steakhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I can never even like comprehend how good that steak was made. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I liked it when I ate it. And maybe I'll go back and eat it again.
Right.
But yeah, pretty awesome. I see why it's one of those ones that are like a pretty legendary, I guess, comic. So pretty cool.
What do you think it's rated on League of Comic Geeks?
Well, it's got to be high. It's got to be at least 4 or 5. I'm going to say it's 4.6.
Correct.
Really?
Yep.
Let's go. I was going to say 4.7 too. Yeah, I mean, well-deserved, should be higher. But I think just court of public opinion, they put it to 4.6.
Yeah, I could see if you're used to like very stimulating comics, like,
yeah,
this might not be like your cup of tea or whatever, but mm-hmm. I think if you kind of,
some of the issues are like pretty long feeling.
They are long issues,
but the fact that it's only four,
they're issues, like 40 or 50 pages.
Yeah, you know, it's like the perfect length, I feel like.
Yeah, I guess it could have been like a little shorter, but I wouldn't have cut out anything really.
But I like that it has room to breathe and have Alex Ross do like four splash pages of Galactus with no words on it. You know what I mean?
I just kept thinking about how he had to paint like pages of just people talking and stuff.
Yeah. And a lot of them are really good. It reminds me, like a lot of those pages are
the Norman Rockwell
feeling pages. You know what I mean? Like they're not realism, but it has that sauce.
What was the gripe that you had in the middle?
That the Marvel's racism thing. Like, and I was only X-Men and not the other Marvels. I also don't like that there's just like this plot point of he's just neglecting his family for work, but yeah. He clearly resolves that by the end. And when he realizes the world's about to end with Galactus,
but when like if you're like the guy when it comes to photography and this sort of thing,
yeah, he's like sacrificing like a lot of his family time for his craft, which is photographing these like crazy dangerous events. So that I get. I just didn't. I don't think that I could. I don't. If there were a bunch of superheroes running around, I think people would just hate all of them or hate none of them, and that would be your thing. I don't think you'd only hate the X-Men.
Yeah,
but I mean, it seems like everybody colloquially just did not like X-Men only.
Right.
But they were super cool with Captain America and Namor after he flooded the city and, you know, all these other people. Or maybe they weren't cool with Namor. Well, but,
Namor, they were like...
But like, if you see Giant Man walking over your city, yeah. Surely that's causing damage some way. Or if you see the Thing and you're like, that guy's cool. But this guy with wings, fuck that guy.
Right.
So that was literally the only thing that I was just like, okay.
Name, did you know this comic has a sequel?
More Marvels?
It's called The Marvels.
The Marvels.
Yeah, it came out like just a couple years ago.
I think I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like coming out.
Are there more recent comic book events that were in there? Was there a Civil War?
I don't know. I didn't read it.
Oh, okay.
It's not Alex Ross on art.
Uninterested. I'm sure that's how a lot of people felt.
Yeah. He does do the covers though, which are really cool.
That's nice of him.
The art's done by Yildre Sinar, which is like good art by all accounts, but it's just kind of seems like a tough act to follow.
Yeah, definitely.
But like that's like the art. It's just kind of like normal.
Ooh.
If it was like someone else doing artwork, but the panels look like something that Alex Ross would have done. Like, that might have worked.
But, like, spiritually, this doesn't feel like the same. I mean, I don't know what the story is, but
yeah,
this doesn't feel like the perspective of somebody that's witnessing Marvel events happening, you know? Because that's, like, a top-down view with, like, very comic booky art.
Right.
So, I wonder what that's about. Or if people liked it.
So, let's get into the poll list. Colon.
Shove in your box.
What'd you get today?
I didn't get the chance to go today, but I will be picking up DCKO Green Lantern Galactic Slam.
Wow.
A bunch of slop that book probably is, but it's got Green Lantern on it, so it'll be fun. There's Miss Truesdale and the Rise of Man number 2 with Jesse Lonergan, who had a top 3 book last year, according to CBR, apparently.
Yep.
I'll have to read the first one. And then I think Everything Dead and Dying number 5 came out.
Yep. I'm going to get that.
That's the last one?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's the only thing I'm getting this week.
Okay, nice. Very cool.
Then I got a little unboxing that we could do.
Ooh. I like to take things out of a box.
I'm going to take things out of a box.
Oh my God, that's a big box.
All right, don't judge. So.
eBay?
Have you ever heard of Whatnot?
Yeah. You did a Whatnot?
So, yeah.
Whatnot, how does it work?
For those who don't know, it's like a...
I don't know.
It's a streaming like auction. People will throw up a book and they'll put it at a price or whatever. It's normally just a lot of back issues and stuff, and a lot of people will put like graded stuff and blind bags and stuff, and people auction on it, and you got like 10 seconds to bid.
Oh, shit.
And if you bid, it'll add like a second or something.
Oh, okay.
And some things can ramp up pretty fast.
That sounds cool.
I was watching a stream by an account called Comics Blessing. It's like a shop out of Texas or something.
I'm writing that down.
And they were doing a bunch of trades and stuff.
Cool. So you got a bunch of trades?
Bunch of trades.
Do you remember what you paid for each one? Because I'd be very interested.
Roughly.
Okay.
They got Superman Smashes the Clan.
Oh, nice. That's a good pick.
Got this for $5.
Hell yeah.
Five or six. It's normally like 17.
Yeah.
So Gene Luen Yang. I didn't know he did that.
Oh, yeah. That's like a
classic.
Yeah, supposed to be a modern classic.
I got Dan Dare.
What the hell is that?
This is a book by Garth Ennis.
Oh.
This is something that I saw in like ads after like The Boys and stuff like that.
Give me that.
I want to say it was like a 2000 AD thing, but I'm not sure.
This looks crazy. And Gary Erskine.
I got that for $5.
That's fun.
Yeah. I got Daredevil versus Punisher, Means and Ends. Oh,
cool.
This is a book by David Lapham.
Is that the original Marvel Knights like run thing?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think it would. If it's a David Lapham one, I think it is.
I got this for $10.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool as hell.
This one, I was just kind of interested in.
Okay.
But I got Simpsons Comics Royale. This is a book by Matt Groening.
Oh, cool.
Who is like the creator of The Simpsons.
There's like a good amount of Simpsons comics too. I went to a mini golf place while I was in Texas and they had like just random vintage like boxes that were decorating stuff. And there was like Simpsons comics in there.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, that's neat.
And then I got the first thing I bought was She-Hulk by Dan Slott Omnibus.
That's crazy.
This normally goes for $100. I got it for $25.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thick boy.
Yeah, I hear this is a really good run to start when you want to do She-Hulk. I've been like, I don't know, just thinking about reading like She-Hulk, but I never really knew where to like start.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd heard about this one, and then it was just something that they...
Yeah, I've only ever read the Charles Soule stuff, but yeah, I've seen that run quite a bit. That's neat. So you got all that for like 50-ish?
With like shipping and stuff, I think it was like up to like 75.
Mm.
But yeah,
good pulls.
Yeah, I thought so.
Maybe I'll have to participate in a whatnot.
Yeah, they have them on like Saturdays.
Comics Blessing does
at like 2. Yeah.
Oh, okay, nice.
That took a couple days, but this last weekend they only did like manga, and there wasn't anything I was interested in that. But
nice.
Yeah, I was like a little like addicted to whatnot for like a couple days. I didn't end up buying anything on the other streams just because I like just wasn't interested, and there was just like a bunch of stuff I didn't care for.
It is fun to just see what random shit people have though.
Yeah, when like
I remember I would watch the Gotham, was it Gotham or maybe Samurai did some live streams on like Facebook Live, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I got a few things from them sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's just like you see something that you're interested in and then they put up for like $5. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it is literally how it feels.
What'd you read this week?
I read Superman, The Kryptonite Spectrum, number 5.
Uh-huh.
That's the end of this, I think.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
I don't remember how we got to where we were at the beginning of that issue, where he's just fighting a kryptonite man.
They made a kryptonite man. Lex Luthor did.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Great book.
Yeah, good stuff.
Really, I don't really know how you end something like that, but I like the way that they decided to end this.
Yeah.
And just very unexpected banger of the year. So I hope they do more stuff together that's either Ice Cream Man or not. I don't know. keep that creative team together.
They probably took like a break just to do this.
Yeah, which is cool. I'm glad that DC let them do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Because like if you're an editor, I guess, and you're like, I mean, they probably know more about their work and what they wanted to do. But you see like the Ice Cream Man guys want to do a Superman book. I imagine that's a...
What do you think they would do if they did something at Marvel? Like a mini series like this?
It'd have to be someone with like a bunch of range that could get kind of funky. So maybe like a Doctor Strange or something.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of interdimensional stuff in this. You get like the imps or whatever from Mr. Mix's Piddalick dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see them doing a Doctor Strange if they wanted something of the same vein, or if they wanted to do something more like closer to Ice Cream Man, I could see them do like Daredevil or something. It would be fun.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. What do you think they would do? Spider-Man might be even kind of cool too.
I could see them doing something like a big character like Spider-Man.
Yeah, maybe some Spider-Verse stuff going on. They could get some weird characters in there.
I feel like they could do something fun with like Guardians.
That'd be awesome too. Yeah. I'd like to see them do
cosmic sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So I read that. I loved it. And then I also read a trade that I got for Christmas. I read all of Precious Metal 1-6.
Ooh.
And that book is bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, really, they really upped the Ian Bertram craziness. It almost feels like he's channeling some Trad Moore in there at some points.
Yeah.
Just because of how wavy some of the stuff is, I guess. But it's really, really good. I think this is like prime Ian Bertram stuff.
Did you like it more than Little Bird?
I don't know. I'd have to think on it for a week. Because I definitely understood less of the story.
Okay.
But it's better Ian Bertram stuff, which is why I'm there.
Mm.
So I'd have to think about what's more important to me. But as I am just sitting here, having finished reading it like yesterday, I think I like Precious Metal a little bit more.
Mm.
Just because I like how fucking crazy it gets.
Yeah.
It almost gets so crazy that I'm like, and it's a prequel to Little Bird. And I'm like, why does none of this show up in Little Bird? Yeah. And Little Bird had some crazy shit in there too. But you see some of the characters in Little Bird show up towards the end of Precious Metal. Oh, and okay. That's fun to see too. So if I gave it a reread, I think I'd lock in Precious Metal for sure, because I'd probably understand more of what was going on.
Oh, okay.
That's the only, you know, critique, I guess. But I think I might also just be stupid. So that was great. That's pretty much everything I read. What'd you read?
I read Afterlift.
Oh, cool.
Chip Zdarsky, yeah. Jason Liu.
This was his Comixology original.
Yeah, I opened this up and I didn't know that there's like a card.
What the fuck is that?
That was signed by them.
Is that a Jeff Lemire thing?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Jeff Lemire art and then signed by Chip and Jason.
Wait, that's sweet.
Because I bought this when it came out. And then I just like, it'd been.
Oh, yeah, that's the marker.
I guess they got the Eisner for best digital comic.
Yeah, it did. I remember that.
Because it was a Comixology original.
Mm-hmm. I read the first issue of it and I remember drawing it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Some interesting ideas there.
Mm-hmm.
And
very nice.
Easy read, you know. Did you watch anything?
Yeah, I watched The Pit, the beginning of first two episodes of season two.
Ooh.
I'm really enjoying it so far.
It's awesome.
It's so, so, so good. I'm glad it's back.
Definitely.
You know, that
another 15 episodes. Another 15 baby.
Episodes of me being stressed out and grossed out. Dude, oh my God. I love this show because it's the only one that makes me just go, oh my God. Like when something gross happens. Because gross shit happens all the time.
Like the dislocated shoulder.
Dude, that I like had to turn away.
I like jumped.
Dude, we were watching it and I was like, no way. And they're like trying so hard. And he's like, get your fucking fingers under there.
Just fucking.
And the noise when it goes back into his shoulder, I was like, I rolled over.
My dreams.
I fucking rolled over. We were laying down watching, but I was like, oh my God. I like
alligator rolled. Like,
it was crazy. I love it. I like that it still has like a lot of prominent things to say, it seems like, as well. There's like AI problems going on and, you know, people dealing with addiction, shit like that. So very fun, very poignant. Mm-hmm. And have you seen like the HBO? Like picture that it shows you when you show The Pit and it's just Noah Wiley's face and he's just staring at you.
Yeah.
That haunts me for some reason. I don't know. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So I watched that. It's great. And I also started playing a game called Evil West, which is an older game. I think it was like a old Xbox One game or maybe late 360 game.
Uh-huh.
But it kind of feels like it plays kind of like a Gears of War, but you're just like a cowboy. In like this weird world where like magic and demons are running around, you got to kill them. But, you know, so it's very just kind of a straightforward game. But the mechanics of it and how it plays is very like punchy and satisfying, like the sound design of it and everything. And it's super, super fun. So I just started playing like the first couple missions of that with Parker. It's like a co-op game.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Nice.
I equate it to like making a Gears of War playthrough with your friend.
Nice.
So I'm enjoying that. And I also bought Cyberpunk 2077's DLC. It's called Phantom Liberty.
Because
I'm enjoying the game a lot and I decided I do want the DLC. That game fucking awesome, dude.
Did you say that was like one of the best games like ever made?
I think it's one of the best RPGs ever made for sure.
Wow.
I haven't like finished the game yet. I'm on for the main story, I'm on the last mission. But it told me that it was the last mission, so if I wanted to do anything else, I should do that. And I've been really enjoying just doing like random side missions.
Mm.
And just like upgrading your character is fun because you get more cyber modifications to yourself. So now I have like rockets that shoot out of my arms. But I also like to be stealthy. So I think my character build is kind of a mess. Because I'll be stealthy when I can, but then when shit hits the fan, I'll just shoot my arm rockets.
Yeah.
And that's cool. But you can get it to the point where you have like...
you like go to like... silently snipe somebody or something, but you accidentally press the rocket launcher
button.
That
hasn't happened yet because I just got the rocket arms, but I know it's going to happen because there's a bunch of buttons to push in that game. But it's just very, like, it's very open to however you want to play the game. Like, okay. I like to just be stealthy because I miss, like, Assassin's Creed when it was good.
Dude, whenever I play, like, the Arkham games, I try and do everything.
Yeah, it's, as, it like, feels stealthy like that.
As possible.
It feels, but
same
you
could, as Spider-Man, too.
You could just run in there and just beat everybody up and it would be fine and faster, even.
Yeah.
But I just like distracting someone to go over there while I knock out this guy and then I get him later and then you get all our stuff and then like when you successfully do it, it's very satisfying.
I just like don't like conflict and then also I don't like, you know, being ganged up on to I'm just button smashing.
Yeah, when it's like too overstimulating, when there's a bunch of people shooting you at once. Plus if you get discovered, sometimes more people come in. So I just like
It's like, where the fuck are you guys?
Yeah. So it's very fun for that reason. And you just are able to hack things. Like there's like death races.
Nice.
Street races you can do, but you can hack their cars. So you can like hack a car to just floor it. So if you're going on a turn, you can hack their car and they just slam into the wall because they can't slow down.
Right.
So it's very fun and creative.
Nice.
So I just started playing the DLC of that. I'm only like one mission in, but it's cool.
Sweet.
What'd you watch?
I watched Weapons.
You hadn't seen that before?
No. It was like, it came out like after Lucas was born.
Really?
And so I just kind of been sleeping on it. I didn't rent it.
And I haven't watched it yet either, but.
I always wait like for Sarah for like horror movies. And so.
Okay.
This one was like high up on my to be watched list, but she just scrolled across it and then ended up watching it. Which is how we watch everything nowadays, it seems like. It's super good. You should watch it.
Okay, cool.
It's like, did you see Barbarian?
Yeah,
so it's Zach Kreger,
his
new movie. And it's like structurally like a different movie, kind of like Barbarian, where it's just like, it's not like a three-act structure kind of thing.
Mm.
And it's like not that scary. And it's kind of, it's more of like a mystery kind of thing.
So like Sophie could watch it?
There are some parts that like scared the shit out of me, they weren't necessarily like jump scares, you know?
Okay.
She could probably handle it.
Cool.
She watched Long Legs and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
She'd be all right.
She enjoyed that. Was scared, but enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's good. It was like just refreshing because it isn't like other horror movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it always feels like horror stuff is taking on like a very familiar formula, but this one just was not that.
Yeah, that's good.
And there's just like things that like maybe aren't that scary in certain contexts that are kind of scary in this, but it's good. There's a lot of good actors in it and stuff.
Sweet.
So yeah
I've been wanting to watch that ever since because it came on to Netflix, right?
Max
I think it's Max. Yeah.
So yeah. What are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
Are we doing something random?
Random.
Ooh.
Unless you had something you wanted to read.
I don't.
Promptly. You want to do the old...
I'll do the old random. We'll let the gods decide. We do need to balance out our DC and independent stuff. So preferably one of those, but we'll see.
All right. I'm going to click on it. Then whatever, and it just goes.
It just goes, and we're at the mercy of that. It could be a billion pages.
Yep. You have to, well, if it's like super long, I might not.
Okay.
You know.
But that's on you.
Okay. Here I go.
Let's confirm that we could actually read it too.
There we go.
Because we got beta of the ROM.
It's a DC book, Nathan.
Oh.
Batman 66.
The Mike Allred one?
Yeah.
Let's go. I'm down for that.
Yeah, buddy.
Let's make sure we can actually read it because we got baited by ROM.
I don't see why we wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, I don't see either.
Jeff Parker?
Yeah.
Of Bone fame? Or is that someone else?
Maybe. The one I Was it Mike Allred? It was, right?
I think so. Hold on.
There's 74 issues of this. We got to make sure we get the right one, I guess.
So volume 150, Richard Case.
Yeah, I guess that's the artist on it for the first volume.
Yeah, so maybe Allred did like covers at first.
Yeah, it must be what it was.
There's like digital chapters. Those are 22 pages.
I guess we just do volume one. I just could have sworn that there is Allred stuff in here, but I guess it was just covers.
I think he does like later books.
Yeah. There's a lot more of this than I.
Leo Romero does some later on. Michael Oeming.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, maybe it's just covers. It's weird. I didn't know that.
Cool. Well, we'll do volume one.
Alrighty.
And you're going to watch all of Batman 66, the show, so you can get all the references.
I have the DVD of like the first season, I think.
Yeah.
Alrighty. The spreadsheet has spoken.
Spreadsheet's decided for us.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. We got a link tree in our bio. You could like, comment, subscribe. Email in at traverspod@gmail.com. Tell us.
What's your favorite Alex Ross book?
What's a goated book that we just haven't gotten to?
Because this is definitely one of them.
Yeah. Let us know. And goodbye.
Goodbye.